And our main speaker tonight is Bill.
I'm Bill, I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is October 15th, 2005. I've got a sponsor, he has a sponsor. I'm not sponsoring anybody right now. I grew up, everybody, a lot of people say they grew up and they felt different. I did because my parents got divorced when I was like between, they separated and got divorced when I like between my kindergarten and first grade year. And my mom moved us back to our home, to her hometown, which was in a little town in Kansas. And as far as I can remember, I was the only kid whose parents were divorced growing up, because most people's parents stayed married back then. So I always felt different. And then 5 years after my parents got divorced, my father died. That's just more stuff to feel different about. I was 11 years old when he died. I can remember when I was a little kid, my dad would, and then later on my stepdad would have me go get him a beer out of the refrigerator, and they'd let me take a sip of it. And I hear a lot of people say they didn't like the taste of alcohol. I tell you what, I love the taste of that beer back then, when I was a little kid. The first time I got drunk on purpose was I was hanging out at my house, and my cousin came over with a 12-pack of Bud and a dime bag of weed, and we proceeded to consume all of it, and me, him, and a couple other friends of mine. And I loved that. I was 15 years old at the time, and where I grew up in Kansas at the time, I don't know what it is now, but back then, you got your restricted driver's license when you were 14. That meant you could go to school, go to church, go to work on your own. And if you had somebody over 16 in the car with you, you could drive, that had a license, you could drive all the time. So I got my driver's license when I was 14. I got my first vehicle, which was a motorcycle, when I was 14, or almost 15. So from the time I was, I lied to a place when I was 15, because you're supposed to be 16 to get a job. I lied and said I was 16 so I could get a job at a fast food place. And there, I needed that because my motorcycle got totaled. So I bought a car, so that was enough motorcycles for me. And so now I had freedom to drive around, and we used to drink whenever we could. Man, at the time, the drinking age in Kansas was kind of strange. You could buy beer, 3.2% beer, in grocery stores and convenience stores, and you could buy 5% beer and liquor at liquor stores. You had to be 21 to buy the liquor store stuff, and you had to be 18 to get the other stuff. So when you're 15, you can always find somebody who's 18 who can go get you some beer. Or whatever you were, and I always hung out with older people than me anyway, so getting drunk was not a problem when I was growing up. I can remember being pulled over by the cops several times, and if they caught us with beer or any other substances in the car, they'd dump it on the side of the road and tell us to get our asses home. You know, and that happened several times. My parents met when they were both in the Navy. So all growing up, I wanted to join the Navy. I wanted to make a career out of it. I had an uncle who retired from the Navy. I had another uncle who retired from the Marine Corps. Like I said, my mom and dad were both in the Navy. And I had an aunt who was in the Navy. Of course, back when my mom was in the Navy, if you were a woman and you got pregnant, you had to get out. They wouldn't let you stay in. So she was only in for a few years before she met my dad and got married and had a baby, and she had to get out of the Navy. So when I was between my junior and senior year, I joined the Navy in the delayed entry program, where you can take up to a year before you go to boot camp. So essentially, all during my senior year of high school, I was in the Navy Reserve. And 2 weeks after I got out of high school, I went to boot camp. After boot camp and A school, I ended up on an aircraft carrier that was homeported in Yokosuka, Japan. And because our ship carried special weapons, we were not allowed to stay in port more than 30 days at a time. So we were underway a lot, and we went to all different kinds of places. We went to the Philippines, we went to South Korea, Hong Kong, Singapore, Thailand, all over the place. And I went to all those places, and the way I used to judge a country's economy was how much it cost to get a beer. I can tell you a lot. I've been to a lot of countries. I can't tell you much about them except the bars I was in there. While I was over there, when I was we go to the Philippines quite a bit. I met a woman in the Philippines. And every time my ship would come in, I'd be with her. Or I went to school there once for a month. I stayed with her. I went on leave down there, stayed with her, and we had a daughter. And then I got shipped. I got transferred to another ship in San Diego. And while I was in San Diego, that's when my daughter was born. I've only seen my daughter once when she was a year old. And after I got out, it came time for me to re-enlist. I liked my drinking more than I liked the Navy. Of course, I didn't put it that way. The way I put it was, the guy who was supposed to be recruiting people to stay in never came and talked to me about it. And me and him didn't get along anyway. And truth is, I never went to look for him either to find out about staying in. I just knew, in the back of my mind, I think I knew if I would have stayed in, the way I like to drink wouldn't have been compatible with a Navy career. So I got out of the Navy, went back home to my little town in Kansas, and proceeded to drink as much as possible, whenever possible. 6 months after I got home, I got my first DUI. I got a diversion program. I stayed out of trouble for a year, so I didn't have any real consequences to it. About a year and a half later, I got busted for something else. And then 6 months later, I got my second DUI. I had three DUIs within 5 years in this little town. And during this time, I also met another woman, and we got married. She was, I guess, what you'd call a cougar. We didn't have that term back then. She was 13 years older than me. We moved in together, and we lived together for about 6 months. And then I said, "Well, why don't we get married?" She said, "Sure." She'd never been married before. She was a biker chick, hippie girl. And she'd never been married. She had a son who was friends with my little brother. And so we got married in October. She asked me to move out in January, and the divorce was final in May. Not great track record for marriage for this guy. My daughter in the Philippines, during this time, I can't sugarcoat it. I abandoned her. You know, I didn't try to support her. I didn't try to get in touch with her mother. And after I got my third DUI, I was sitting in the county jail doing a year for my third DUI. And they had a work release thing where you go out and do like community service, pick up trash or do whatever. And they paid you minimum wage to pay off your fines. So I did that, and I had about, after I had them paid off after about 9 months. And so I asked my mom to see if the VA had a treatment program. I didn't want to go to treatment because I thought I had a problem. I just wanted out of jail for a month. So I went up, she said, sure, and the judge said, sure, you can go up there. I went up to the VA hospital in Topeka, Kansas, did their 28-day program, came back, and I'm ready to do my last couple months of my sentence. And my lawyer, he didn't say nothing to me. All I know is one day the guards came down and said, hey, you got to go to court. I'm like, what the hell for, man? You know, yeah, I don't know. You got to go. I went up there, and my lawyer said, we're going to get you out of jail today. I said, why? He said, because you completed treatment. I said, I don't want to get out of jail today. He said, why? I said, because if they let me out of jail today, they're going to put me on probation, right? He said, yeah. I said, I don't do good on probation. That's why I'm doing a year in the county jail right now. He said, well, we got to go talk to the judge. So I went and told the judge the same thing. He said, and I said, you know, I don't do good on probation, and I got 2 months left on my sentence. And when I get out of here, I'm planning on going down to Florida. Because I'd already decided that was the problem, was Kansas, because all these cops in that little town knew me, and they were out to get me anytime I was anywhere near a vehicle or anything else. And the judge says, I'll tell you what, I'll let you out today. You go talk to the probation people. You can go down to Florida. As soon as you get a job or start going to school or whatever, you call up here and your probation will be over with. I'm like, all right. So I jumped on a Greyhound bus and came down to Florida. First, I went down to Sebring to visit my grandparents for about a week. And I got down there in June, and I'm like, well, they said, there ain't no jobs around here, man, not this time of year. You gotta, only during the wintertime when the snowbirds are around here is there any jobs. So I ended up coming to Tampa because they had a VA hospital here. And I never did call the probation people back. I got here, went through the VA, had a homeless house. They had a house for homeless veterans. We're in a real good neighborhood right over by Central and Lake, right by the projects, right across the street from the projects. I started going to school. I went to school to become a paramedic. And I stayed pretty sober for about 6 months, you know, because I was staying in this VA place and they wouldn't let you drink there. And then one day I decided I've been a good guy for 6 months, man. I was going to meetings while I was there. We'd go out all the way out to Serenity Club, because one of the guys there had this old beat-up Ford that he'd drive everybody out to the meetings. And then he moved out, and nobody had a car, so it's harder to get to the meeting, so I just quit going. And one day I went to a bar, started drinking, met a girl, moved in with her a couple of weeks later, and quit going to any kind of AA and started drinking again, just like I'd always drank. She got tired of it after a while, and she moved someplace else, and I was stuck in this little apartment over off 24th in Nebraska. Still a great neighborhood, you know. I didn't know nothing about Tampa. I didn't realize how crappy the neighborhood was. I just thought, you know, this is it, you know. However, since then, I've been moving steadily farther south every time I've moved since I've been in Florida. And I kept drinking, man, and I completed the entire program of the paramedic program, except for the one credit to take the finals. And I was more interested in getting drunk than taking that one last credit and finishing the program. And that's a theme of my life, man. I would always change my behavior or change my goals to fit my behaviors instead of changing my behaviors to fit my goals. So I kept drinking. I got a job at an assisted living facility that was perfect for a drunk because it was a small facility and the person who worked nights could sleep at the facility. And I worked there until the lady who owned it decided to retire. And then I moved to another, a lot of the guys moved to another facility. And the owners of that facility said, hey, anybody that's working here want to come, just come put in an application. So she closed on a Tuesday. I started working at the other place on a Thursday. And I continued getting drunk as much as possible, as often as possible. And listen, I've been in Tampa now for, at this time, about 11 years. And I kept drinking. And this whole time I never had a vehicle. You know, I stayed out of trouble because I never had a vehicle. I rode bicycles and buses and walked wherever I needed to go in Tampa. Well, when I got this new job, my boss had this old pickup truck, and he said he'd sell it to me on payments. He'd take it out of my paycheck before I got it. And I also moved into a house that they owned right down the street from where I worked, so I didn't have to. It was like I could leave the door and be at the place in 5 minutes or less. So after 6 months of having a vehicle, I got my fourth DUI, my first one in Florida. And while I'm waiting to go to court for this, about a month or so before I'm supposed to go to court, I go to see my lawyer. My lawyer asked me, do you want me to see if I can get you some kind of a treatment program? Because by this time, if I'm not drinking, I've got the shakes so bad I can't write my name, I can't do anything. And I said, yeah, sure, you know, whatever. And the same day I went home, I drank the last three natural ice tall boy buds or beers in my refrigerator and crashed and woke up to go to work. And just as I was getting ready to leave to go to work, my boss called and said, hey, we need you to stop by and talk to us before you go into work today. I said, all right. So I stopped by and I go, you know, what's going on? He says, you're becoming unemployable. I'm like, what? What the hell is that? You know, I didn't understand that because I always went to work on time. They'd call me on when it wasn't my day to go into work, you know, whatever. Of course, I was either half drunk or hung over when I was at work, but I did, you know, I'm like, well, I'm here all the time, you know. And he's like, he said, you either start going to AA and you bring me a piece of paper signed by AA that you're going to a meeting every day or you're going to be out of a job. And because I was living in the house they owned, I'd been out on the street too. So I started going to AA. I started going over to Club Yana. And I went two meetings a day. I went to the noon meeting and the 5:45 every day. After about 45 days, they quit asking for the paper, but I kept going. I don't know why I kept going. It's just something in my mind that shifted during that time. In the meantime, I go to court for my DUI You know, I got to go to the DUI school, and the DUI school says I need to go to treatment again. And by this time, I'd been sober for about 6 months, you know. And I was like, I don't understand it, you know, because they have you fill out an intake form when you come in. And I, when I filled it out, I didn't know if I was supposed to answer the questions as I was now or as it was when I got my DUI, you know. So I think I answered it how it was when I got my DUI instead of how it was then. So anyway, I go to the VA again. I do an outpatient treatment with them. During the treatment, I go and talk to the psychiatrist. He's looking at my records. He says, this is the third time you've been to a treatment program for the VA. What makes you think this time's going to be any different? And for the first time, I said, because this time I want it. This time I'm doing it for me, not because I'm court ordered or whatever. I want to stay sober. Now, I didn't do AA the right way, man. I didn't do it. I fought it every way you could. It took me 3 years to humble myself enough to ask somebody to be my sponsor. I don't recommend that to anybody, but it's what worked for me. The people who say meeting makers make it, to me that worked out for me, because that was part of my, that's part of what kept me going, was I'd be at meetings 2-3 times a day as often as I could. I got involved with service work at the club, at the Club Yana. We did fun stuff, you know. The first six or seven months I was sober, we had a softball team in the city league. We never won any games except one, because the other team didn't show up. But we had fun doing it, you know. And I got to see how you can have fun in AA without drinking, you know, how to have fun sober. It took me another 2 years after I got sober before I finally got my driver's license back. It wouldn't have taken that long, but I got this old truck, and the electrical system on it was shot, and I had to have it fixed before I could get a breathalyzer put on my truck. And a guy in AA said, I know a guy, he'll come fix your electrical system. It took him 9 months to give me the guy's number. And then it took me another 6 months before I called the guy, because I waited till I got my income tax refund check, because I didn't know how much it was going to cost. I thought it was going to cost me a ton of money. The guy came out and fixed my truck, fixed all the electrical in it, charged me $110. And he worked on it for 2 days. So I started, now, this whole time, the first 2 years or so, the only meetings I ever went to were at Club Yana. So now I got a vehicle, I can go places. So I get a wear and win and start going to different meetings. I go to 3333. It was okay, but I didn't really feel it there. And then a friend of mine used to come down to this meeting all the time. A lot of you guys, people who have been around a while, know Buddy. And Dick used to come down here. So I said, well, I'll go check out this one. And so I started coming to YPG, and I've been coming ever since. You know, I made this my home group. And this, the best part of all of this is that, you know, when I left, before I got sober, about 2 years before I got sober, my daughter contacted me and wanted me to help her try to come to the United States. And at the time, I was drunk, and I was no help at all. When I did my ninth step amends, I didn't know how to get in touch with my daughter. All I had was an email address from her for her aunt who lives here in the States, her mom's sister. And I sent her an email asking to get in touch with my daughter. And it came back as undeliverable. I told my sponsor, I said, how am I supposed to do this? He says, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of it. A month later, my phone rings and it was my daughter. And we've been in touch ever since. She has one son, and she just had a tragedy in her life. She just had an ectopic pregnancy, and she's having trouble with that right now. But I'm there to help her wherever I can. She contacts me through Facebook and Facebook Messenger and Skype and all that kind of stuff. So I'm part of my daughter's life. I'm also part of the rest of my family's life. I just last week or 2 weeks ago, I went home to visit my family because they had a family reunion. I haven't been back there for 10 years. So I got to meet a bunch of nieces, nephews, great nieces and nephews that I haven't met before. I had a great time. While I was there, I went to some meetings while I was there. Now, this is a small town, so they had 7 days a week, they had a noon meeting at an AA club, and 3 nights a week, they had a meeting at that AA club. And then there's an NA club that had meetings 7 nights a week. So I went to my first NA meetings, you know, just because it was the only meetings in town, you know, that were meeting at that time. The first day I went to a meeting in that town, a guy I knew from, I've known him since first grade. The last time I was in town was for a class reunion, and he was drinking and stuff, and he borrowed $20 from me at the class reunion. And, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, whatever, here. So I went to the first meeting I went to in my hometown. I'm sitting there waiting for the meeting to start. Here comes this friend of mine, Alan, walks in the door. Turns out he's chairing the meeting. After the meeting, I get up to go up and say hi to him, find out how his life's going. And he hands me my 20 bucks. He says, do you know what that's for? I said, yep, I remember. So this program has changed my life. You know, before my entire existence revolved around how I'm going to get my next drink. That was all. The only reason I worked was so I'd have money to drink. And I drank as much as I could, as often as I could, whenever I could. And since I've come into this program, my life just keeps getting bigger. I get to do all kinds of stuff I never thought I'd do. I went to the international conference a couple years ago. And after the conference, we went whitewater rafting up in Georgia, which was pretty awesome. You know, this program saved my life, man, because if I hadn't come to this program, I'd be dead, in jail somewhere, or who knows what, man. But I'd be on the street, because that's where I was headed when I came in here. And I don't know how long I would have lasted on the streets. But all I can say is this AA has changed my life. It's changed my perspective on life. And when I was drinking, I lived in this town. Before I got sober, I lived in this town for 13 years. I didn't know anybody. I knew the guy at the liquor store, the guy at the convenience stores that sold me beer, and the people at the jobs I worked at, and that was about it. In fact, one time I was while I was drinking, I went to the hospital, and they weren't gonna let me out because my blood alcohol level was too high, so you gotta have somebody come pick you up. I didn't know anybody to call. I had to call my boss to come pick me up, and I'd only worked for the man for about 6 months at that time. I didn't tell him why I needed, I just said, I'm at the hospital, I needed somebody to come pick me up, you know. I didn't elaborate on why they wouldn't let me out. Because I asked them, I said, well, how long, they said, your blood alcohol is too level, how long is it going to be till I can leave? The nurse looked at the chart and said, about 12 hours. I'm like, well, I can't stay that long. I got to go to work tonight. So that's my story, and I hope somebody got something out of it. And thanks.
Okay, thank you both for sharing your stories with us tonight.